Make your weekend better at Buena Connection Brewing Company. Fresh craft beer, great vibes, and a tap room perfect for kicking back. Grab a pint, bring friends, and enjoy the weekend at Buena Connection Brewing Company. Go to BuenaConnectionBrewing.com. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Beverage Chronicles. I am your host, Gary Monteroso. And on Beverage Chronicles, each week we bring you the latest beverage news plus smart consumer tips to help you buy better. Whether you're choosing beer, wine, spirits, coffee, zero proof options, whatever. So let's dive into what's new, what's noteworthy, and what's worth bringing home. This is Beverage Chronicles. When you drink, alcohol can start to impact your breathing, heart rate, and thinking in just 10 minutes. The strongest effects usually hit around 40 minutes to an hour after you start drinking. But how long alcohol lingers in your system varies from person to person, and it depends upon several factors. Once you consume alcohol, your digestive system absorbs it, and then it enters your bloodstream. It remains there until your liver processes and eliminates it from your body. Your body breaks down alcohol in a few different ways, but the primary method involves two enzymes that work to separate the alcohol molecule. These enzymes convert the alcohol into byproducts, which eventually turn into water and carbon dioxide, allowing your body to expel them. This breakdown takes time, so if you drink quickly, your liver will need more time to catch up. Your blood alcohol level indicates how much alcohol is present in your blood. If you drink at a pace that matches your liver's ability to process it, your blood alcohol level will stay low. However, if you consume alcohol faster than your liver can handle, your blood alcohol level will increase, and that's when you might start feeling the effects more intensely. The blood alcohol concentration, also called BAC, test is the most common method for measuring alcohol in the bloodstream, and it can detect alcohol for up to 12 hours after drinking. Other blood tests look for substances that result from alcohol consumption, mainly used to determine if individuals with alcohol use disorder have consumed alcohol in recent weeks. Everyone's body reacts differently to alcohol, but a few key factors play a role in how your body processes what you drink. The type of alcohol you choose can influence this process. For instance, drinks with higher alcohol content, like hard liquor, are absorbed into your bloodstream faster than wine or beer. Wine, which generally has a slightly higher alcohol percentage, can cause your BAC to rise quicker than beer. There are medications that can boost your BAC or lead to other effects when mixed with alcohol. If your doctor gives you a prescription, make sure to ask him or her about, or your pharmacist, about any possible interactions with alcohol. Plus, alcohol can change how your body processes the medication or reacts to it. Eating before and while you drink can help slow down how fast your blood alcohol content increases. Foods that are rich in carbohydrates and fats can reduce the speed at which your body absorbs alcohol, giving your liver more time to handle it. Your size, age, and biological sex can all influence how your body reacts to alcohol. Generally, smaller and younger individuals feel the effects of alcohol more intensely, as do those assigned female at birth. You might also have a sensitivity to alcohol that isn't directly linked to these factors. It's crucial to understand how your body reacts to alcohol and plan accordingly. Knowing your body and how it processes alcohol is essential for safe drinking. Try to keep an eye on standard drink sizes to better gauge how much alcohol you're taking in. Standard drinks consist of 12 ounces of beer, 8 ounces of malt liquor, 5 ounces of wine, or 1 shot of liquor. Here are some other tips for drinking safely. Plan ahead for a designated driver, public transportation, or a rideshare. Make sure to eat before and during your drinking. Alternate alcoholic beverages with water or other non-alcoholic options. Consult your healthcare provider about any possible interactions with your medications. And talk to your family about any history of alcohol use disorder. These suggestions can help you enjoy your favorite beverages while staying safe and having fun.
It was wine that led us over the past 10,000 years from being isolated groups, small families, tiny clusters and little villages, finally growing into larger cities and then finally into nations. This is John Mahoney from New Jersey Wine Radio for the Beverage Chronicles, discussing why our species evolved the ability to metabolize alcohol and why we still drink and enjoy it today. Our ancestors discovered wine in crevices of naturally fermented grape juice. Ripe grapes fell, and wild yeast did the rest. We did not invent it. As I pointed out in my book, Wine, the Source of Civilization, which is easily obtained from Amazon, our ancestors liked the warming effect of the fermented grape juice, and we stopped being hunter-gatherers and settled in agricultural locations to be able to grow grapes and grain. It was wine that was one of our first trading items, not swords and weapons. Sharing it helped us to bond together. When we share wine, we still sit face to face. We talk together. We share sad and happy things that happen to us. When we savor wine, we act civilized. Wine does more than enhance the flavor of food items that you drink with it. Wine does more than provide antioxidants to help your heart and blood flow. Wine does more than excite your brain with exotic scents and lingering flavors and curious aftertastes. Wine helps bond we human beings together. Sharing wine with someone you love deepens the relationship. Drinking wine with friends strengthens the bonds between you. The oceans of the water separate the people on our planet. Wine brings us together. Well, this is John Mahoney, suggesting that you sip in moderation. And as you share your sensations, your feelings about the wine you're sharing, you'll bond together. Talk about the aromas, the taste, and how it feels in your mouth. Wine also enhances music and art. Enjoy both as you nibble some cheese, sip some wine, and discuss how lucky we are that our ancient ancestors, our Stone Age ancestors, were able to build civilizations because they found wine. In vino veritas.
Hey, I'm Leslie Jesperson, your everyday celebrity, and today we're talking about how influence, storytelling, and reputation shape what we buy. We're going to talk about the word healthy, because healthy has become a headline in the beverage industry. Now, when I was studying advertising and marketing and PR in college, we learned that words do not just describe something, they create a feeling. So low carb, light, fit, active, better for you. These all signal a lifestyle and they suggest alignment. They're quietly saying, this product, this drink fits the version of you that takes care of yourself. So think about a brand like Michelob Ultra. When you see the can or the bottle, you're not just thinking about beer. You're thinking about how you're going to feel afterwards. You're thinking about the workouts that you do. You're thinking about golf courses and pickleball courts. And you're thinking about balance and moderation and being someone who still enjoys life, but also makes intentional choices. That whole thought process that you went through, that is not accidental. That is specific brand messaging, the language, the ads, the sponsorships that they do, the tone of their ads. All of this works together to connect the product to an identity before you ever take a sip. This is storytelling in real time. And what's super important is that this doesn't just mean that you're going to pull the word healthy and slap low carb label on something and call it a day. Obviously, the quality has to be there. And when the message and the reality align, people are going to feel really confident in ordering that healthy quote unquote beverage. They're going to feel like it represents something about them. They're not going to feel guilty. They're not going to feel like they are splurging. They're going to feel confident in the fact that they can incorporate this product into their lifestyle. Because remember, they're not just buying the beverage. They're not just making a haphazard choice. They are buying rituals and meaning, and that drink is becoming part of their healthy lifestyle story, part of their social movement, part of their weekend routine. And that is influence, whether you know it or not. This is where media and culture meet too, because when a brand is consistently communicating health and lifestyle, that's building trust and that's building loyalty and it's building reputation. And once you start noticing it, you're going to see it everywhere. You're going to think about this when you go to order your next drink, when you go to grab a case of something off the shelf. You're going to see how certain words create connection. You're going to see how that language is building a belief and how creating an identity will shape people's choices. They're not just selling drinks, they're shaping how people see themselves. That is the power of a headline, and healthy has become one of the strongest headlines that we have. I'm Leslie Jesperson, and if you're curious about how branding, PR, and influence shape what people choose, you can find more about me at lesliejesperson.com. That's J-E-S-P-E-R-S-E-N.
You know, there is so much to appreciate about coffee. Not only is it tasty, but there are studies that have pointed out its health advantages, such as possible support for gut health and a potential decrease in the risk of frailty as we age. In 2025, researchers provided us with yet another reason to enjoy that morning brew when they found out that it contains compounds that might eventually help in managing type 2 diabetes. Last February, scientists from the Chinese Academy of Sciences released a study investigating Arabica beans and whether roasted coffee has substances that could assist in regulating blood sugar levels. In their research, the scientists clarified that when carbohydrates are consumed, the body utilizes an enzyme to aid in their breakdown. Some medications for managing type 2 diabetes function by slowing the same process, allowing sugar to enter the bloodstream more gradually after meals. In this coffee study, the researchers aimed to determine if roasted coffee has compounds that could achieve a similar effect. So the team collected green Arabica beans from the Yunnan province in China and roasted them to a moderate degree based on their color. They then extracted an oil-like substance particularly rich in the coffee's natural characteristics, the compounds that are responsible for its oily appearance. After that, they divided the extract into 19 smaller samples to analyze their contents and to see if any could inhibit that enzyme. They discovered not only previously unknown coffee compounds, but also identified three that significantly slowed the enzyme, which is why the researchers believe they merit further investigation for diabetes-related studies in the future. However, it's still too early to claim that coffee can manage type 2 diabetes. These recent findings merely indicate that compounds in roasted coffee can inhibit this specific enzyme in laboratory settings. They do not confirm whether these compounds have the same impact in the human body or how much of the compound is present in a typical brewed cup of coffee. Nevertheless, this research aligns with other studies examining potential connections between coffee consumption and type 2 diabetes. And that's going to do it for this week's episode of Beverage Chronicles. I hope you enjoyed the stories that we explored today, and always realize there's more to discover in every glass. If you like what you heard, be sure to follow us each week right here and join our growing community online for updates, tasting notes, and behind-the-scenes extras. We're going to be adding some new things to our website and to our show over the next few weeks and months. So, I'm Gary Monteroso, inviting you to Raise a glass to good company, good conversation, and the endless adventure of discovering your next favorite drink. Until next time, stay curious, and as always, enjoy responsibly. Bye, everyone.